What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Happy Friday. Today is Friday, September 13th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, was Thursday a packed day. Thursday was the first day the Eagles had their practice week for the Atlanta Falcons, which means we saw them practice. We heard from Nick. We heard from Jalen. We heard from Devin White. And we saw them practice, so we have an update on some of the injured Eagles that didn't play week one. So let's get right into it, because not only do I want to get all into that, play you some good audio from the team, but the Go Birds announcement on where we are going this year was made. Got a pod in the feed talking about that. Plus, I want to preview another part of this game, an important part of this game, the Eagles offensive line versus the Falcons defensive line. So let's jump right into it. First, what should you be on the lookout for today? The Eagles will be back at practice today. The locker room opens at 1:45, so if you want to get on Twitter and Threads and Instagram and look for stuff from the locker room, that should start coming out at right around 1:45. And then at 3 o'clock, practice begins, which will be another look at who is practicing that maybe didn't practice on Thursday, or if a guy like an Isaiah Rodgers is out there again. So we'll get a chance to look at them practice, watch them practice for a little bit at 3 o'clock. So 1:45, locker room opens, look out for tweets there. 3 o'clock, practice begins, a look to see who's healthy, who's not, and how the team is going in their second day of practice for the Falcons. So quick injury report note, some good news from practice on Thursday. Isaiah Rodgers, the cornerback that would have started week one on the outside if he didn't suffer a broken hand, he spoke to reporters prior to practice. I asked him what happened to his hand. Sounds like he made an interception in practice and someone hit the ball trying to knock it out and fractured his hand, unfortunately. So he said he did have surgery on the hand. If he does play, he'll probably have to have something on it, but it sounds like he could play. He said that is the plan. We'll see what happens these next few days at practice. I spoke to him prior to practice. He was out there at practice with a helmet, so an encouraging sign. It could be one of those things that I've talked to plenty of players that feel like they're going to play, but the team and the doctors are thinking, nope, no way. So I wouldn't say for sure he was going to play, but it's encouraging to know that was the goal and that's kind of where they thought he'd be able to come back. So definitely something to keep an eye on, but it sounds like there's a chance, if not a good chance, Isaiah Rodgers will be back on Monday night against the Atlanta Falcons. Other piece of injury news, which leads us into kind of our big news of the day from the NovaCare Complex. Devin White was back at practice. He was the first player doing tackle drills. He was out there with all the linebackers. Obviously, he has been dealing with an ankle injury that kept him from playing week one. Spoke to him prior to practice. He was less sure that he was going to play, but it sounded like he was being a bit cagey and saying, we'll see. So yeah, Devin White back at practice. Isaiah Rodgers back at practice. So good news overall for the Eagles from an injury perspective. But the Devin White news, and this is the news of the day from the Eagles, Devin White did speak to reporters. Obviously, the day before, on Wednesday, Vic Fangio said that N'Kobe Dean would be the starting linebacker moving forward. Nick Sirianni confirmed that earlier in the day on Thursday when he said N'Kobe and Zach Bond will be the linebackers moving forward. Devin White, and I'll give him credit, like walking to the locker room, I didn't think he would talk. A lot of times, and I don't blame them, when these things happen, players don't want to talk. Like, who wants to stand at their locker and answer questions from 30 reporters about why you lost your job, or at least your starting job? So I give him credit for being there. And I'll say, from being around him, I thought he handled it really well. I was front and center. I asked him a bunch of questions about it. I thought he was a true professional about it. I think it sounds like he has the right attitude. But the quote that really stood out to me was, he was asked, and this was from Ruben Frank of NBC Sports Philadelphia and also the WIP pregame show. He was asked, like, look, you took all the first team reps in training camp. You didn't really play in the preseason games, which is normally an indication that your role is secure. Like, were you surprised that this happened? And here's what Devin White had to say.
Yeah, you could truly say that. The way the snap count went, the things I did on the field, preseason-wise, but at the end of the day, it's not my call. I could just do what's asked of me and just stay ready, you know, for what's asked of me. Whether I go out there the last 2 minutes of the game or the first play of the game, I just got to be ready and just be able to, you know, get this team all I have. Because, I mean, that's what I came here to do, is just, you know, rewrite my story, you know, for the career, for my career, however that play out. I don't control that. I just leave that in God's hand, and I stay ready. You know, I don't cry, don't, you know, mope around. I just come to work and, you know, be a pro about everything.
So, yeah, I agree. If I was Devin White, and as someone that covers the team and was there every day, I was also surprised to hear this. I thought Devin White, while he didn't stand out in camp for good or bad, I thought he did stand out in a positive way in the offseason. From a pure rep perspective, he took almost all the first team reps. As I guess you could say, as camp went on, like maybe Nakobe took a little more, but I certainly didn't think it was a super noteworthy amount. And Devin was always the first linebacker out there with the first team defense. So I agree, like, with Devin White. If I was Devin White, I would be really upset. Like, you came here as a free agent. You were probably told that you would have the job, if not a realistic chance to win the job. And I bet Devin feels like he probably was never going to have that job. It seems pretty clear to me Vic Fangio wanted Nakobe to be the starter. Now, Nakobe earned it. Nakobe had an awesome camp. I'm not taking it away from Nakobe. But if I'm Devin White, I would feel upset about that. Now, he didn't say that, but I'm sure that is how he feels deep down. Like, you can tell he's coming off a year in Tampa where he didn't have a great year. He signed a 1-year prove it deal. He's talked about how he took less money to come here because of the opportunity to come here and play for a Super Bowl and be on the field on defense. And that's all gone now. Now it could change. Devin White did say that, you know, he's going to stay prepared. Nick Sirianni said there will be a role for him. Devin wouldn't say what that role was. So we'll see. I mean, maybe he'll be in there to rush the quarterback on certain clear passing downs. We'll see if he plays special teams, but yeah, if I was Devin White, I would be upset. And the other thing I'll say is this is on Nick and Vic Fangio now to like keep him engaged in an active, positive part of the locker room. If Nick's whole thing is going to be culture, connection, having relationship with players, well, Devin's in a tough spot now. Devin is, in my opinion, and should be understandably probably bummed out that he lost the job. And it's on Nick to keep Devin engaged. And it's also on Vic Fangio. I'll say just being there for the Devin White when he was talking, I didn't get the sense him and Vic had like a heart to heart about this. You know, Vic, as we've seen from his pressers, very matter of fact, not like someone that elaborates. Like, him and Nick couldn't be more different in how they talk about emotion and how they express themselves. But you think about what some of the players said in Miami about Vic Fangio, and I think this is a good test of the Nick Sirianni CEO culture guy and Vic Fangio's ability to, you know, have his players like him. I know it's not the end all be all. I get as a coach, it's not ultra important you're really liked, but you want to have someone as important as Devin White in that locker room who's very popular, really close with a lot of the players. You want him happy. You can't have him moping around. And I don't know if he will. I didn't get the sense today he would, but it is on Nick and Vic Fangio to make sure this situation doesn't spiral. So Devin White spoke to the media. We'll see what his role is on Monday night against the Falcons. The other kind of story of the day, I would say, is the turnovers. As you guys know, 2 turnovers against the Packers in week 1. Could have been 2 more for fumbles, a few plays where Jalen nearly turned it over. The Eagles were lucky to win that game in some ways. And I thought the way Nick phrased it as it's not a sustainable way to win is very true. And I know he's not calling out Jalen specifically, but like, Jalen was the one that made the bad decision. So Nick's correct to point out that the turnovers were a problem. I thought it was good that he said it wasn't a sustainable way to win. Obviously, as a coach, you always want to point to some positives, but it's also important to be honest. And he's right. Like, if they're going to be that reckless with the ball, they'll probably beat a lot of teams still just because they have so much talent, but they won't beat good teams in big spots. Like, they won't win playoff games being as reckless with the ball as they were. So that was Nick prior to practice talking about the turnovers. Jalen Hurts later in the day was also asked about the turnovers, and here's some of what he had to say.
Jalen, after reviewing the tape, what's the key to avoiding those type of interceptions moving forward?
I think I made 2 unwise decisions. Those are all things that I own. So those are things that I got to be better with, truly managing those situations. And
yeah, I mean, Jalen's right. Like, he has to make better decisions. He was also asked, you know, is it hard in that moment to make the right decision? And he said no, and I thought that was a good answer. Like, his job is to make the right decision in those moments, in split seconds. Like, that is what the quarterback's job is. So we'll see if he can do it. I mean, over the past 10 games, he's been pretty reckless with the ball. Lots of turnover-worthy plays. I think he was 4th in the league last year in turnover-worthy plays among quarterbacks. He was the number 1 in the NFL last week league, according to Pro Football Focus, in turnover-worthy plays. So he has become increasingly reckless with the ball, for sure. So hearing him say he knows he needs to work on it and he knows he made poor decisions, it's encouraging, for sure. But at the same time, like, it has to change. It's now been 10 games. I know it's only one game this year, but Monday night against the Falcons, if he's reckless with the ball, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, they will make him pay. And this could kind of be a turning point in like his ability to take care of the ball. So it's good to see he knows he needs to be better with the ball, but we have to see it in action on Monday night. The other interesting thing I thought he said was he was asked about if he thought the Packers were kind of trying to key on him to stop him as a runner. And here's what he had to say.
Tried to take your legs away from you as far as running the ball. And if so, are the things you can exploit off that later on?
Yeah, I think you find a flow for things as they go on. I think for the defense we just played, the team we just played, I think they're definitely mindful of that in my game. But I think when you try and take certain things away, you kind of expose yourself to other things, you know, creating yourself vulnerable for other things. And so I think there are definitely things like, you know, the last time we played them, it was a pretty good day on the ground. So I think, you know, everybody's aware of that.
Speaking of navigation,
I do think this is one element of the Jalen Hurts running game we don't talk about enough, because I think oftentimes when he doesn't have a good game running the ball, it's viewed kind of simplistically as, well, he's not the runner he used to be, or he's just focusing on going down. Teams do key in on Jalen to try to stop him. And this is why I feel like he is an effective runner as opposed to a special elite runner. I think that when there are plays there that are able to be made, he can make them. Like, Jalen has the legs to take advantage for the most part of all the yards that are available. Is he Lamar Jackson? Is he Josh Allen? No, he's not those guys. But if the Packers are trying to stop him from running the ball and they have somebody spying him, to make big plays late in those spots is still pretty huge. You know, he brought up how he had a ton of yards on the ground last time they played the Packers. And so this time you could tell they were more keyed in on him. I think it's a good point by Jalen. I think that, you know, we probably don't bring up enough that other teams are keying in on him, trying to stop him as a runner. And that's clearly had an impact on how effective he's able to be as a runner. Still very effective, still makes big plays, but clearly opposing off defenses are very much keying in on him, whether it be with a spy or how they're lining their linebackers up to keep him in the pocket, roll him to a certain way, and make sure he can't just run wherever he wants. So, the other big news before we get into breaking down this game, the Go Birds guys, me and James Seltzer, we are going to Baltimore. The Go Birds trip this year, courtesy of Fans of Philly, who does all the trips. They're just an unbelievable company. Joe from Fans of Philly is awesome. All the people that go on the trips are unbelievable. I've made friends on those trips. I know if you guys come, we'll be friends, but it's a great chance to meet other Eagles fans and really have a good time hanging out. So Go Birds, going to Baltimore this year. We will go up Saturday before the game. We will party Saturday night. We'll go out. We'll have drinks. We'll eat. We'll hang out. We'll talk Eagles. And then on Sunday, we will pregame tailgate for the game. All you can eat, all you can drink, tickets to the game. I'll be at the tailgate. James will be as well. Obviously, we'll both be out Saturday night. And then James will be in the seats with you guys for the games. I'll have to go to the press box, unfortunately. And then the bus leaves after the game. And let me tell you, getting a bus home after the game is such a nice feature of this trip. Like, you guys will be so happy when you're on that bus for a nice 2-hour ride. You can fall asleep. Maybe if you had a few drinks, you can relax, and then you can go home. So we're super pumped about the trip. Great game. Eagles, Ravens, potential Super Bowl preview. Eagles don't go to Baltimore often for regular season games. So we couldn't be more excited. It's accessible to people that are local. It's an easy drive. You should take the bus Saturday morning with Fans of Philly. You get the hotel through Fans of Philly. You get the game ticket through Fans of Philly. So it's going to be a ton of fun. You're going to be hearing a lot about it until the trip, because me and James went as many Real One auto downloaders to come as we can. And I'll just say this, like, sign up now, because if you wait until a week before and you don't do it, you're going to feel left out. Like, you will. Maybe right now you're thinking, who knows, but it's super affordable. Go to fansaffiliate.com. It's an awesome opportunity to go see an Eagles away game. It'll be all Eagles fans. It'll be me and James. It's going to be so much fun. Last year in Dallas was unbelievable. I can't wait to do Baltimore this year. So make sure you come to that with us through Fans of Philly. On the other side, I'm going to get into another preview of this game, another aspect of this game, the Falcons edge rushers versus the Eagles offensive line. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, so yesterday we talked about the Falcons offensive line versus the Eagles pass rush. And I gave the slight edge to the Eagles pass rush, but I think it's a true 50-50 toss up. The Falcons offensive line is not that good. Kirk Cousins gets rid of the ball quickly, but they have offensive linemen starting that are not super talented. They have two good ones, three not so good ones. The Eagles should be able to take advantage of that, especially with a cleaner playing surface this time, not as slippery. You want to see the Eagles get some pressure on Kirk Cousins. And I think in some ways the Falcons defensive line is similar to their offensive line. They have very good top end talent, but for the most part, they don't really have difference makers. So first, let's look at their edge rushers. First of all, they don't really rotate. At least last week they didn't. Matthew Judon played the majority of the snaps. Lorenzo Carter played the majority of the snaps against Pittsburgh. Obviously, Matthew Judon, a player the Eagles got to see in preseason when they had a joint practice against the Patriots. He was out on the field that day. Now he's with the Falcons. He had a sack last week against Pittsburgh, had a ton of sacks last year. He's just a very good player. So he is certainly somebody that the tackles, whether he lines up across from Lane or whether he lines up across from Ilata, not an easy task. So, but outside of Matthew Judon, they really don't have a lot of guys you have to worry about. Lorenzo Carter had three sacks last year. James Smith-Williams, just a rotational guy. Arnold Bakiti, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name. I apologize. He had six sacks last year, but he only played 32% of the snaps in week one. So he's not out there a ton. Maybe a Bryce Huff type of situational pass rusher. But of those four, you really only worry about Matthew Judon. I think Lorenzo Carter and the other three, Lane Johnson, Mailata, should be able to handle them. Now, they don't rotate a ton, so they'll see Matthew Judon quite a bit. But I think, you know, this is why you pay tackles elite money. Matthew Judon's a tough matchup. I'm not understating it, but he's the only edge rusher they really have to worry about. On the defensive tackle position, they have Grady Jarrett, who had two sacks last week versus Pittsburgh, but he only had 1.5 sacks all last year and he only played 8 games. But even if you put that out over 16, 17 games, that's still only 4.5 sacks, which isn't nothing from the defensive tackle position. And two sacks last week is certainly noteworthy for Grady Jarrett. But he's, again, like a nice player, like a good player. He is not Aaron Donald. He's not Chris Wilson. He's not Jalen Carter. Like, he is a nice pass rusher, but I don't think he is somebody that Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, and Landon Dickerson should be able to handle. Outside of that, again, just guys. Kentavious Street, obviously with the Eagles last year. He's now on the Falcons. Eddie Goldman, just a guy. David Onyemata, apologize again. You know me, I'm bad with names. I apologize. 4 sacks last year, nothing to sneeze at, but again, nothing to worry about. So if they can focus on Matthew Judon and take care of him, and on the interior, they can take care of Grady Jarrett, I think Jalen could have some pretty clean pockets to work with. Like, the Packers have a better defensive line at both spots, the edge and the tackle position, and I thought they gave Jalen a lot of clean pockets. Now, it's on Jalen to take advantage of those clean pockets. Like, Jalen does escape the pocket, I think, often too much where there's a clean pocket to work with, and I think you'll have a lot of them against the Falcons. So, and we talked about earlier in the week, I think that as good as the Falcons secondary is, and they have really good playmaking safeties that force interceptions, one-on-one, I think the Eagles receivers can win these matchups against the Falcons receivers. Where you would run into trouble is if Jalen's getting panicky in the pocket, he makes bad decisions, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons takes advantage of him. But I don't think the Falcons defensive line is good enough to consistently get pressure on him. I think you'll probably see the Falcons try to blitz, but the Eagles were good against the blitz last week. Now, it's only one game. We'll see if they can do it again, but it sure does feel refreshing to say if the Falcons blitz, you have some level of confidence the Eagles will be able to handle it. So I look at this Falcons defensive line, and again, Matthew Judon, Grady Jarrett, two good players, but they just don't have the depth or the other playmakers where a Jeff Stoutland offensive line, and I've seen Stoutland, when a team only has one really good lineman, very rarely do the Eagles get beat by that lineman. I've seen him shut down Aaron Donald. I've seen him shut down Bosa. I've seen him shut down pretty much every elite rusher they've gone against. So I think they'll be ready for Matthew Judon. If you can take him out of it, Grady Jarrett should not wreck the line for you. You should be able to handle him. So I give the Eagles offensive line the edge in this matchup. I do think that they, especially coming off a really strong performance last week, I do think you can have confidence in them. And now I know the pass rush was tough for teams last week, because of the slippery surface. But Jason Kelce was on WIP this morning, or I should say, sorry, it was on WIP Thursday morning, and talked about how it was also tough for offensive linemen because you couldn't really plant your feet in the ground and you're the one getting pushed as opposed to doing the pushing. And so he thinks offensive line could be even better this week, with assuming the grass at the link is way better than it was in Brazil. So I give the Eagles offensive line the edge in this matchup. I don't often see them get beat by singular great pass rushers, and I don't think that'll be the case against the Falcons on Monday night. So thank you guys for listening. A jam-packed Go Birds daily today. A lot to get into. So I appreciate everybody for listening. We will talk to you guys on Saturday. Go Birds Radio from Parks Casino, 1 to 3. Me and James previewing this game, talking about last week. There will be so much to get into, and can't wait to talk to all you guys. So as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.